Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
All right, IO Theater just launched its inaugural IO Fest earlier this week, featuring improvisation, sketch, and stand-up performances from more than 70 acts, headlined by alumni Tim Meadows and Matt Walsh. The event, Chicago's largest improv comedy festival, runs through Sunday at IO Theater, 1501 North Kingsbury Street. Attendees will be able to flow through the entire building, which features four stages, a lounge area, a patio, and a bar. Tickets start at $30 for a single day and $65 for 4 days, and prices vary for the headliner shows. You also know Matt Walsh, by the way, from this year's Apple TV limited series Manhunt. Matt was a correspondent on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He's also appeared in films such as Road Trip, Bad Santa, The Hangover, Ted, Elf, Party Down, Arrested Development, and seven hit seasons of HBO's Veep. Here's Chicago's very own Matt Walsh. Matt, how are you? Welcome back to your hometown, my friend.
Always good to be back home.
I bet. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, there could be no better comparison right now than between the dysfunction in Washington that is happening in front of our eyes, the election, and Veep, which I think laid it all out for us for seven seasons, right?
Selena was a horrible narcissist and very petty and very vindictive. So just wanted to put that out there.
But I'm saying, like, watching that show, and I'm going to tell you, I have been watching, like, rewatching. I just started doing it about a week and a half ago. Veep viewership on Max jumped more than 353% in the past 2 weeks. So I'm not the only one.
No, it is. It's driving a lot of interest back to the show, our fictional show, and it is aging well, which makes me very proud because so much hard work and good writing went into it. And I think one thing Veep did from the very beginning is it never pulled any punches. It was always relentlessly mean.
Yes.
And hardcore. You know, these politicians were playing hardball the whole time. There was never any, like, sweet messages. And lo and behold, it's become our reality, you know?
It has. The show itself, and I do want to talk about it for a little bit, is, you know, it is very reflective, I think, of really what goes on every single day. But, you know, when you watch some of the other comedies that were on HBO over the years, and the Larry Sanders Show and Entourage and some of the others, this one, and I'm a big Don Rickles fan, this is like constant insults every second. They're deep, they're mean, you see it in the actors' faces when they're being hit with it.
Yes.
It's honestly one of the most well-written shows in TV history, I think.
Thank you. Well, I didn't write it, but I agree with you. I think the insults were a big part of it. That started with Armando Iannucci. He loved, you know, poetic vulgarity, and we got to sling some of the most Shakespearean insults towards each other. And sometimes, like you said, we were hearing them for the first time because they would try different alts or different insults. And so you, as an actor, perhaps receiving it, was hearing it for the first time. So you might see a gleam of, like, oh, that really was a blow.
Yeah. Well, even like when you watch the early days of Curb Your Enthusiasm, you see how it's developed over the years. And I thought to myself, okay, I haven't watched Veep from the very beginning, from the first episode, in a long time. And I watched the first four or five episodes, and I thought to myself, no, it was just as mean in the first episode. There was complete consistency through the entire seven seasons.
It was relentlessly mean. And as an actor, you just had to, like, put on a tough shell because you knew they were going to probably go after your body type or something on your face.
Yeah.
And but it was all in the service of comedy, which is the best thing in the world. And I've been very immersed in Veep. I just want to say I've been doing a podcast with Tim Simons, who plays Jonah, for the last four years, where we're going, called Second in Command, and we're going through every episode of Veep. So it's weird that it's now, like, again coming back, because we've been visiting, you know, we have Julia on and Tony on.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Great timing for that. Holy cow. Where do you find that, by the way, Matt?
Second in Command is, like, wherever you get podcasts, probably like iTunes or Spotify, places like that.
Okay. You know, people were talking also about, because Veep is coming up in a lot of conversations, that it's just not the Simpsons that can make scarily accurate predictions when it comes to real world politics. But following, you know, Biden's decision to bow out and Kamala coming to the forefront, you know, fans are pointing out the eerie similarities, and they're going episode by episode and saying, in this episode, in season 3, they talk just about this. So there are a lot of almost predictions in the show.
That happened a lot during, you know, the seven seasons of filming. Oftentimes, you know, Selena would have a terrible slogan for her new campaign, and then 6 months later, an Australian congressman would use the same exact slogan. Do you know what I mean? There were constantly these, like, echoes of exact plot points from our show, and it was never intentional. But what the show gets credit for, and the writers and the producers and the actors, is it was always going for lots of research, interviewing people from both sides of the aisle, examining, you know, the people behind the people who are at the podium, as well as how deals were made and where they were made, and the vanity and pettiness that actually sometimes drives legislation. And it rang true because it continues on. You know, it's sort of the greater truth, and I think that's why they never kind of revealed what Selena's party was. They just tried to speak to the greater, you know, greater truths of politics.
Yeah, you know, like some of the other shows that are on, like you talk, go back to The Sopranos, and, you know, they had people that were, you know, in crime that were consulting on the show. You have, you know, NBC Chicago Fire or PD, you got real firemen on set talking about how a scene is supposed to go. And you said you interviewed a lot of people, but there had to have been some writers and there had to be some people on staff at that point that had this experience in politics at some level.
Well, yeah, I mean, Armando was a British citizen, but he could dissect our politics as good as any American. And he knew our garbage culture, like all our pop culture and terrible TV shows, let's say. Yeah. So that he was always on top of it. And then I think Dave Mandel, who handled the last three seasons of Veep here in the States, too, he was like a political major or constitutional major. So he was, you know, interested in politics. And then people like Frank Rich, who covered politics for the New York magazines and papers, he was on staff all the time. So there were people, you know, constantly on set that you could ask questions to. And that was one of the beauty of having those smart minds around, is you could go up to people and say, what do you think is going to happen with this particular issue? And they could kind of give you they could read the tea leaves.
Well, the thing is, too, like, we're about the same age, but, like, I think about, was politics always this way, or did it become funky in the 90s? Like, at what point did it become just such an S show, so to speak? And, you know, were the...
Yeah, I'm not a pundit, but as one viewer, I think it changed when Trump came around. I think he was sort of saying things that when Selena said them, we would have her go back and apologize for them and try to reel it in, and then we had this character who just came out and did those things meanly and cruelly and continued to do them. And I also think, like, it's the great divide that just got magnified between the sort of two sides of this country that, you know, has deepened. And I think in the old days, like, we had a show that everyone would laugh at, Republicans and Democrats. And now I don't think some of these MAGA people are able to have a sense of humor about politics. And I think for whatever reason, that great divide is more vast.
Yeah.
And I don't have a reason why.
And I would even think you go back a little bit, even to the Clinton era, because, I mean, here you are with an intern in your office and it was so visible and you just didn't hear about that stuff before. Like, you know, you think about the days of, you know, long before our time with FDR. I mean, the man was in a wheelchair most of his terms, and that was never shown. And the press had the utmost respect for him as a leader, and they didn't report on those things. And the affairs that were going on in the 40s and the 60s and everything else were somewhat downplayed by the media. And I think just as media grew and cable became such a thing in the 80s and the 90s, I think, and then social media, of course, that I think was the big explosion where, you know, nothing was hidden anymore.
Yeah.
And everything, everybody was wearing their opinions, their backgrounds, their personal lives on their sleeves, right?
It's true. It is like you're saying, like, even, you know, Kennedy's affairs were, you know, the media turned their blind eye to that up until, you know, through the Nixon era or whatever. But you're right. Media, social media, the 24-hour news cycle really changed everything. And I think it's kind of like this win-at-all-costs mentality. And I know when we first started doing research, we got to go to D.C. in, 2012 or something when the show started, or 2010. And it still seemed like Republicans and Democrats would have a drink in the coat room after a battle on the floor.
You know,
the old the stories of Tip O'Neill and Strom Thurmond sitting down and having whiskey after a battle on the floor. That existed in that whatever communal ability to at least talk to each other. And that's kind of gone, and I think it's multiplied by the social media, because the things that get traction on social media are very vindictive and hateful and mean. And
yeah, they are. And I think more Americans are in the middle. I mean, I really believe they're in the middle. I mean, they're so far left and so far right that I think most of America does sit in the middle of both. I mean, some people, you know, they're fiscally conservative and socially liberal. Or who do you vote for at that point? So I think, you know, we're just so polarized by the people that have the voices so far right and so far left that it's really hard to even turn on the TV and listen to anything. But it's great that we have Veep to laugh at, though, you know?
No, it's true. And I think people are fatigued by politics because it does get so heated up in an election year, even in off election years. And I agree, like, most people just want, like, common sense solutions that make their lives a little better. I completely agree with you. And everybody's sort of like, oh, I can't even listen anymore.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
It's a fatigue that, yeah, that has hit us all.
And then, you know, earlier this year, you're in Manhunt, which premiered earlier about a presidential assassination. You were at the forefront of the news cycle, it sounds like, between Veep and Manhunt. It seems like you were on the top of the news feed, I mean, for the most part.
Well, Manhunt is fascinating because I grew up in Illinois, and it's about the Lincoln assassination and the capture of John Wilkes Booth. And there was so much history that I knew nothing about, the fact that they tried to take out Lincoln's cabinet the same night they shot Lincoln. They went after many of his, you know, ministers. And just all of that was fascinating to me. And it's wonderful to be able to research a real character. And because so much has been digitized, I found wonderful articles and letters from Dr. Mudd, the character I played, and the medical report of Lincoln's, you know, or John Wilkes Booth's leg, et cetera. So there was so much to dig into, and that was really an interesting, unique challenge for me, as well as it being like a heavy drama, which was challenging.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, you've done comedy, you've done drama, obviously, you've done a lot more comedy. I mean, do you enjoy the challenge of a good, you know, drama, you know, on set?
I do. Like, it's that thing of, like, I try to do something every once in a while that terrifies me just to kind of grow.
I like that.
I'm most comfortable doing a comedy.
Yeah.
And I enjoy them, but I also enjoy drama, and I feel like I learn something when I step out of my comfort zone like that. So, and it was an incredible full-scale production of Civil War era, like, you know, horses and torches and doing scenes in caverns and, like, everyone's wearing wool suits in Savannah, Georgia, and your sweat. It felt like a reenactment village. Like, so that was really cool to see the full-scale execution of a timepiece. Yeah.
We're talking to Matt Walsh. IO Fest is happening this week, and we're going to talk about that next on 720 WGN. All right, we're talking to actor, comedian Matt Walsh. Chicago's largest improv comedy festival runs through Sunday at the IO Theater. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about Veep. Everyone's got to rewatch Veep. It's a perfect time for that. You were born in Chicagoland, Hinsdale High School, and I'm looking at your background in just improv, you know, Players Workshop. Then you and your classmates co-founded Sketch Group, Department of Works, and then The Annoyance and I.O., where you worked with Del Close, founder of the Upright Citizens Brigade with Amy Poehler, you know, Ian Roberts, Matt Besser. I'm not familiar with Matt Besser. Is he related to Joe Besser? I'm just asking.
You know what he is? Strange.
He no, is. He is
like
not.
A distant cousin to one of the Three Stooges. He is, yes.
That's his. That was a joke of mine. I did not know that. That's
no,
awesome.
That's comedy royalty. Yeah, to be related to one of the Three Stooges is crazy.
Wow, wow, wow. So you've had the thread of improv in your entire life. So talk about your journey in improv, especially, you know, at I.O.
Yeah, I learned after college. I was doing shows at Improv Olympic. I studied under a guy named Del Close, who was sort of the guru of long-form improv. And improv is basically this art form where you get one suggestion and then you perform with a group of people for like 45, 50 minutes, and you create a play. You create multiple scenes out of these suggestions. And it's this invisible thread, I think, to all theater, which is basically listening and agreeing to the reality that your partner gives you, relinquishing your idea to build off of someone else's. It's like this collaborative art form and you are essentially writing on your feet, and you are directing it, and you are editing it, and the audience that sees it is sort of on the edge of their seats because they realize that it is a bit of a high wire act, and it's an ambitious proposition.
And here you are this weekend. You're celebrating IO, and IO has been around forever. They went away for a little bit with the original founders and so forth. Came back in 2022, and you're sold out on a lot of this stuff already. But like you, Tim Meadows, you guys have a night of Chicago style improv that's happening. You know, and again, entirely by audience suggestions, experiences. I'm sure this is going to be a lot of fun with you guys.
Oh yeah, we obviously don't know where it's going, and I think that's the beauty of it. And it's always fun to come back to Chicago because the audiences are really improv savvy and they're definitely engaging. And so they're wonderful audiences. And this weekend is spectacular because a lot of great talent is coming through. It's, you know, three nights of comedy and improv. And it's sort of a celebration of this art form that's very Chicago rooted, obviously. It, you know, it has its roots here. So it's really cool to come home to be able to do it, you know.
Very cool. Well, IO Fest, Chicago's largest improv comedy festival, runs through Sunday at IO Theater, 1501 North Kingsbury. Attendees will be able to throw through the building, stages, lounge area, patio, bars. Tickets start at $30 for a single day, $65 for 4 days. And headliners, you can check online. Very cool. Matt Walsh, thank you so much for spending time with us. And you are going to be living in my head for the next couple months as I find my way through 7 seasons of Veep. It's a perfect time to rewatch that show.
Well, thank you, and go Bears.
Go Bears. All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.